Now, church, let me tell you, at our Chester Watch Party, it is awesome. And it's always hard to try and describe the presence of God and the atmosphere in God's house. But at the Chester Watch Party, we obviously cannot sing during praise and worship for government guidelines, but that doesn't mean we cannot worship. And let me tell you, the presence of God in that place is incredible. So you better, as soon as the tickets come out, and you can here in Manchester, you better book your tickets, get there, because the presence of God is incredible. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2:4, he writes, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but were with a demonstration of the Spirit's power." In other words, preaching, what sets preaching apart from a speech, a lecture, a talk, is that preaching is the proclamation of the word of God. And Paul writes, at the preaching of the word, there's a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And let me tell you today, what sets us apart from anything else is the presence of God. And whether you've acknowledged it already today, but the presence of God is with you. It's with you when you're at home. He's with you when you're at church. The presence of God is with you right now. You may have tuned in online and you're feeling anxious and worried about the future. Well, good news today is that in the presence of God, you can exchange anxious thoughts for God's peace. You might have come today to the Chester Watch Party unsure of what the future looks like, unsure of what church will look like in the future. But in the presence of God, you can be reminded today that the local church is the hope of the future. You might just be watching online. You might have been watching YouTube for 2 hours already this morning, and the algorithm has brought you here, and it just so happens that you're here. Well, let me tell you, the presence of God today, Jesus can speak a word in God's presence to give you a hope, to give you a future, to give you a purpose. So right now, Audacious Church, I want to pray for you and set an atmosphere. So God, I pray right now for every person that's watching online. I pray that we would first recognize your presence and we would open up our hearts to you. And God, today we declare that today is a day of breakthrough. Today is a day of miracles. Today is a day of healing, a day of opportunity, of provision from heaven. Would you remind every heart of the hope and the promise we have in you? Come and do, God, only what you can do. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, church, today I want to preach a message to you called No Turning Back. Why don't you turn to your neighbor right now, wherever you are, and say, no turning back. Maybe you're on your own right now. I want to hear it. Say, no turning back. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. The author writes, "Remember those days, those earlier days, after you had received the light, when you endured a great conflict full of suffering." That's encouraging for a Sunday. "Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not today, Audacious Church, throw away your confidence, for it will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that you have done the will of God, you will receive what he had promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. And but my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back." And this is our key verse today, Audacious Church. But we, Audacious Church, do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we belong to those who have faith and are saved. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not yet see. I wonder, Audacious Church and friends today, have you ever had a time in your life where there's just been no turning back? A moment where there's been no turning back. For me, a couple of years ago, I used to work in a pizza restaurant. And as part of this pizza chain, I would work in many different restaurants. I've worked in Belfast, Gloucester, Liverpool, Chester. And you probably can tell already this morning that my accent's not really all that English, It's not really all that Northern Irish anymore. In fact, not even Jesus knows where my accent's from. In my morning prayers, I have to write it down so we can understand what I'm actually saying. It's like this mishmash of different accents. And as part of working in this pizza chain, customers would come in all the time and would try and guess where I was from. Now, church, there were some really bad guesses. Some people guessed the United States of America. Some people guessed Canada. Some people guessed Australia. Some people guessed Wales. And we'd have a laugh and we'd talk about how I'm actually from Northern Ireland and it would be all funny and it would be a good time. But then this one time, this guy comes in super confident. Like, I mean, he was so confident that he knew where I was from. And as he sat down with his family, he looks up at me and goes, "I'd recognize that accent anywhere. Whereabouts in Scotland are you from?" And I thought to myself, church, you know what? It's been a long day. Scotland and Ireland, not too dissimilar. You know, Celtic roots, all of that. So in a moment of weakness, being honest, the kids all looking at their dad, super impressed that he knew, eyes wide open. I didn't want to break their hearts. I look at the family and I thought of the first Scottish place I could think of off the top of my head. And I said to him, "I'm from Glasgow." And I thought that would be the end of it. I thought, you know, we'd move on and things would be good. And the kid's eyes light up. And his eyes light up. And he says, "You'll never believe this. My mum was born in Glasgow. Whereabouts in Glasgow are you from?" I thought to myself, there's just no going back on this one, okay? You know, thinking on the spot, I thought, right, what do I know about Glasgow? Okay, football, Ibrox Stadium. I said, "Okay, mate, I'm actually from a little place near the Ibrox football stadium." And again, the family's eyes light up. They couldn't believe it. And he says, "Are you kidding me? My mum grew up on Ibrox Terrace." "What road do you live on?" I'm like, "Are you kidding me? I cannot believe this is actually happening right now." A moment where there was just no turning back. And at that point, I had to backpedal something crazy. And we all had a laugh about how I'm actually not from Glasgow, not from near Ibrox, I'm from Northern Ireland. We had a right laugh. But I guess, church, for all of us, we've had times where it's felt like there's been no going back. And in better days for me, what no going back has looked like is packing all of my stuff into a tiny Fiat Punto car, leaving Northern Ireland to move to Chester on the promises of God. And maybe for you today, no turning back has looked like being the first person to leave home and go to university. Maybe no turning back's looked like for you sowing a financial seed in faith, not knowing what it's going to look like on the other side, but trusting God that he's going to come through. Or maybe for you, it was that time when you made that decision to follow Jesus and you decided in your heart that there was just no turning back. And I want to suggest today, Audacious Church and friends, we are called by God to live our faith, to live our lives in such a faith posture and position where there is no turning back. No turning back to the old ways of doing things. No turning back to old lifestyle habits. No turning back to small thinking. No turning back to small living. Because we're called by God to live in a position where there is no turning back. And the danger for us today is that if we live lives that turn back, we start to live lives that aren't the audacious, risk-taking, faith-filled lives that God has called us to live. And here in Hebrews, we have the author writing to the Hebrews, encouraging them in Hebrews chapter 10. But we don't belong to those that shrink back. Encouraging them in Hebrews 5 that they shouldn't be on the baby formula of God's word that they're on, but they should be on the solid food. And what has happened to the Hebrews right now is that they've become great hearers of the word of God, but have struggled to be great handlers of the word of God and apply it in their lives. So what's happening is they are thinking small, living small, and are shrinking back from the great, glorious promises that God has in store for them. And if we turn back, Audacious Church, just like the Hebrews, we'll live lives that are diluted, that are small in our faith, and won't achieve the great and glorious things that God has got for us. I want to suggest today, church, that we're not called to belong to those that shrink back and turn back. And for the sake of the 68 million people in the UK, the people in the nations of Europe, the people in the nations of the world that need Jesus, we cannot afford to shrink back, live small, and turn back. Today, Audacious Church, we need to move forward in the things of God. There's one thing, church, I wanna suggest to how we get there, how we live a life that doesn't turn back, and it's this. Is that we would choose conviction over convenience. Choose conviction over convenience. In Genesis 24, we have this incredible story about Eliezer, who is the chief servant of Abraham. And Abraham's given him what feels like mission impossible. He said to Eliezer, "My son Isaac needs a wife. Why don't you go ahead back to my homeland and find a wife that is suitable for Isaac?" Eliezer obviously has no choice in the matter because his boss is asking. So he heads back to the homeland to find a wife for Isaac. Now, as he gets to the homeland, he approaches a well. And when he gets to the well, he prays his prayer. He says, "Lord, may the woman that Isaac is meant to marry show herself by her generosity, that not only will she offer to give me a drink of water, but that she'll also offer to water all 10 of my camels." And church, it's literally, you could not write this. It's like a Baywatch moment. He's in the middle of praying this prayer and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to get water from this well. And he looks across the horizon. Sun is setting low in the sky. Some lo-fi music is playing in the background. And here we have Rebecca who comes running around the corner, all slow motion, hair waving in the wind. She's looking good in those sandals with no socks in Jesus' name. And Eliezer thinks to himself, this is the holy hottie that Isaac's got to marry. And this is where we pick up the story, church, in Genesis chapter 24, verse 19. After she, Rebecca, had given him a drink, she said, "I'll draw water for your camels too, until they have had enough to drink." So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all his camels. So what? So what, Pastor Lee? Give the girl a medal. She drew some water. Big deal. What point? What has this got to do with my life? Well, great question. Glad you asked it. And this is where it gets good, church. So stay with me. So a camel can drink up to 25 gallons of water in one sitting. Eliezer had 10 camels. Rebecca can only carry 5 gallons of water at any one time. And this well isn't a modern pulley system where you'd, you know, put the bucket on, you'd reel it down into the water, bring the water back up. There was 50 steps down into the well and 50 steps back up. So for Rebecca, what she was doing was committing to 50 trips down and 50 trips back from the well to water Eliezer and all of his camels. An audacious church, Rebecca chose to live in conviction, to serve and be generous, even when it cost her, even when it was tiring, even when it was convenient to go back on her word. And because she chose to live in conviction instead of convenience, her conviction opened up her calling, which stepped her into her destiny. And she married Isaac, gave birth to Jacob. And through this family line came Jesus, the greatest family line in all of history. Audacious church and friends, right now, it will cost you. Conviction will cost you. It will make you tired. You'll have times you'll want to give up. It might cost you living for Jesus, everything you have, but it is worth it for what God will open up on the other side. Because on the other side, God will open up your destiny in your family, in your workplace, in your friendship group, and in your life. The trap is today, Audacious Church, is that convenience says, "I'll do it if it suits me." Convenience speaks a language of ifs, buts, maybes. Convenience only pays the price when it's half price, 2 for 1, 50% off. Convenience prays once and if the miracle doesn't happen, gives up and turns away. Convenience gives up on trip number 49, not knowing that on trip number 50, on another sacrifice, there's a miracle and there's a breakthrough. But Audacious Church today, we don't live in the land of convenience, we live in the land of conviction. And what conviction says is, I'll do it knowing it costs me. Conviction speaks a language of can be and will be, and definitely conviction pays the price, whatever the cost. Conviction prays, and if the miracle doesn't happen, it keeps praying and praying and praying, and conviction will move forward regardless of the cost, of the pain, and achieve everything that it set out to achieve. Audacious Church, we don't live by convenience, we live by conviction. And our conviction as a church is this, is that God is building his church and not even the gates of hell will prevail against it. Our conviction is this, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Our conviction is this, we don't belong to those that shrink back, turn back, are destroyed, but belong to those that have faith and are saved. What is your conviction? What is your conviction? If you don't have a conviction, convenience will rob you when the going gets tough. But let's be honest for a second. Convenience seems so appealing. Conviction is so hard when turning back with convenience seems so easy. The Apostle Paul had the same moment in Acts, and we're going to pick up the story here in Acts 24. Paul is in prison and faces the same dilemma. Acts 24, 26, in the Message. A few days later, Felix and his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, sent for Paul and listened to him as he talked about a life of believing in Christ, as Paul continued to insist on right relations with God and his people, about moral discipline and the coming judgment. Felix felt things getting a little bit too close for comfort and dismissed him. That's enough for today. I'll call you back when it's convenient. Exhibit A, a man who was living for convenience. But here's our key verse, church. At the same time, Felix was secretly hoping that Paul would offer him a substantial bribe. And these conversations were repeated frequently. And after 2 whole years of this back and forward happening, Felix was replaced by Porcius Festus. Still playing up to the Jews and ignoring justice, Felix left Paul in prison. Paul right now is in prison under guard, and he's been here for 2 years. And since day one, it's been really obvious that Felix doesn't actually care about hearing what Paul has to say about Jesus. Paul is taking an incredible opportunity. But all Felix cares about is a bribe. And it's gotten so obvious that everybody knows. Paul knows every time he gets called in that Felix wants to offer him a bribe over and over and over again. And Paul right now is at this, what feels like a junction moment, being pulled each way, where he's at this junction where you've probably been to, although you haven't been in prison, where on one side, convenience is screaming, and on the other side, conviction is screaming. Conviction is yelling to Paul, trust God. Don't cop out and give him a bribe. You're here for a purpose. Be integral. But then convenience on the other side says nobody is watching. Convenience says it's not a big deal. It's just a bribe. Think about getting out of prison. We've got these two yelling voices yelling at Paul. And Paul, in a moment, makes a decision to be integral, to trust God, even when turning back seemed so easy. Convenience was lying to Paul all along and telling him that his freedom was on the other side of a bribe that would get him out of prison. But conviction told Paul that his freedom was already purchased by the precious blood of Jesus. And even though his surroundings might have boxed him in, he was still free on the inside. If you're still in doubt today, Audacious Church, with where you belong in this, it's this. We don't belong to those that shrink back and are destroyed. We belong to those who have faith and are saved. So today, be like Rebecca, who when convenience spoke to her and told her to back out and give up on trip number 49, trusted God and stepped into her promises and into her purpose. And be like Paul today, who when convenience whispered in his ear, take the bribe, it's no big deal, stay true to God, stayed integral and trusted God with his life. Choose conviction over convenience, whatever the cost and whatever the price. And I wonder today, Audacious Church, what would the world look like if each one of us lived like Jesus and chose conviction over convenience? See, Jesus had this moment too. Jesus is out in the wilderness for 40 days, 40 nights, being tempted by the devil. And the devil whispers in his ear to choose convenience instead of conviction, to cop out, to live another way. And I don't know about you today, but I'm thankful that Jesus lived a life that stuck to his convictions in God. And I want to suggest today for us, Audacious Church, right around the world, wherever you're watching, that we'll see miracles if we choose conviction and don't turn back. We'll step into our destiny if we choose conviction and don't turn back. We'll see the nation and the world change if we choose conviction over convenience and don't turn back. And for you today, Christian, that's watching, I want to do two responses. For you, first off, it's this. You follow Jesus for some time. In some cases, it feels like forever. But you know what it's like, as we all do, to be in this place where convenience and conviction are wrestling for our soul. And what culture wants to tell us is convenience is the way forward. But what my Bible tells me is that when we live lives of conviction, though it costs us everything we have, that's where we'll step into the great and glorious promises of God that he has for us and that he has for you. So right now, wherever you are, you might be at home, you might be out, you might be at the Chester Watch Party, or you might be here with us. I want you to recommit today to live a life that doesn't turn back. So wherever you are, why don't you jump up to your feet? If that's you today and you're saying today, I want to make a decision to live my life that doesn't turn back. You can jump up on your feet. And we're going to pray this prayer together. And it's you reconsolidating in the face of what culture would want to tell you, the temptations of convenience, that today you're choosing to live a life that doesn't turn back, that doesn't shrink back. But today, you're gonna choose conviction over convenience. Why don't you pray this short prayer with me? It's simply this. I have decided to follow Jesus, though it cost me all I have, there's no turning back. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'm believing today, as you've prayed that prayer, stepping further forward into the things that God has for you, God will open up the doors of destiny in your life. And the Holy Spirit this week will highlight to you places where it's become easier or you felt tempted to choose convenience over your convictions. And I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, you this week would live a stronger, more abundant life in the convictions and the things of God. You can grab your seats wherever you are. And right now, I want to pray one last prayer. And that's for you, and you've just happened to come online today, or somebody's invited you, or you're attending our watch party in Chester, and you've never made a decision for Jesus. Well, let me tell you this, that even though we may have turned our backs on God, God has never turned his back on you. Jesus, in fact, the Bible says, is knocking on the door of your heart, asking to come in. You've tried religion for a while and it hasn't worked. Well, I want to offer you today something much greater, and that's a relationship with Jesus, that he came and died on the cross, but was raised to life again so you could have eternal, abundant life in him. And if that's you right now, let me tell you, it's the best decision you'll ever make in your life. So right now, wherever you are, why don't you pray this prayer after me? And it's simply a prayer of connection, connecting you to God. Pray this with me. Father God, thank you that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sins, but that on the third day, he was raised to life again. And today I choose to follow Jesus, to give my life to Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, church, if you prayed that decision right where you are, let me tell you, it's the best decision you could ever pray in your whole life. And right now you can go to audaciouschurch.com/Jesus. And we'd love to help you on this journey of connecting you with God and on this journey with God, the best journey that you'll ever live. In Jesus' name, amen.